to y'all. We are glad that you are with us tonight. We have worked diligently to make this service a special service, starting out with sleigh rides and cookies and hot chocolate and cider and even roasted chestnuts. Have you ever had a roasted chestnut? It is nothing to write home about, but it is an experience. It is an experience. I would do it again. I would do it again. Well, again, we are glad that you are here celebrating the Christmas story with us. We have worked, as I said, diligently to make the service meaningful and significant because we want you to grasp not just the celebration of Christmas, but what the Christmas story is all about. And I'll just remind you that these are exit doors right here. So if there's a mishap with the candles at the end of it, we please ask you to walk single file, one by one out there after I do. That's important, after I do. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Anyways, well, let's pray and we'll get started with our service. Father, I thank you for the gift of Christmas. And Lord, just putting all funny aside, Lord, we just thank you for your plan to rescue sinful fallen creatures because of your love is so full that it demand to be expressed towards those who did not deserve it in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I ask that you would lift our eyes above the festivities, as fun and as good as they are, that we would see you more clearly through this hour that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If everyone would like to start by standing and join us in singing some Christmas carols, that'd be great.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare His room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth. Savior reigns. Let men their songs impose.
Jesus, born.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. Amen. You can now be seated as the Advent candle is lit. And we listen to the Christmas story.
On this night of Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle as a symbol to remember that Jesus came to earth as a poor baby in order to make a way for us to be with a holy God and to save us from our sins. Listen to the story of what happened on that night many years ago. Luke 2, 1 through 20.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was specially married to him, was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger.
When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and had seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, again, good evening. I hope you're enjoying the service so far. I want us to consider the Luke chapter 2, the passage that was so well recited for us by the Fraker family. I want to consider specifically the angels encountering, the shepherds of the shepherds encountering the angels, shepherds encountering the angel. I'm sorry, the shepherds encountering the angels. And so my message today is called "The Christmas Story is Good News," again from Luke chapter 2. The Christmas story is good news, and it's not just good advice. Advice is recommendation about something you should do before something happens. News is someone, a messenger telling you about something that has already happened. Advice tells you how to prepare for something that's going to happen. And news tells you how to respond to something that's already happened. Let me give you an illustration. Take, for instance, the recent snowfall that we've had here in Homer. Advice would be from a meteorologist, a newswoman or newsman who tells us that there's a snowstorm coming and to prepare yourself to shovel yourself out or to hire somebody that's going to plow your drive for you. And that would be a recommendation based on their advice. News would be you wake up in the morning and your spouse or one of your children comes up to you as a messenger and tells you the good news that somebody has already plowed your drive for you. And all you have to do is rest in that reality and be thankful that someone who was kind enough to take care of your driveway has done that for you. So that messenger is not giving advice. They gave you good news, particularly after the dump that we've had in the last few weeks. In the same way, the Christmas story is good news. From Luke, I want to focus on 2 points. Hopefully. Oh, there we go. Okay, so Luke, we want to focus on 2 points. In this text, we see the angels declaring, the angels declare, and the shepherds respond. And so let's first of all look at the angels declare. We find that heaven dispatches angels to declare the good news of the birth of the Savior to shepherds out in the field. And we read this in verses 9 through 12. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." So the angel appears to shepherds at nighttime, and the glory of the Lord filled the darkness, leaving the shepherds fearful or terrified. The glory of the Lord is the brilliance of God's very presence penetrating the darkness of this world. And the darkness of this world reminds us of the darkness that surrounds us, and I would say even the darkness that was within each one of us. The darkness that surrounds us, particularly that we've seen in this last few years, is the divisiveness that we see between one another. The anger, the angst, the unrest, the violence, the crime, which is in some cities at record heights. And the injustice reminds us that there's something terribly wrong with the world, and there's something terribly wrong with each one of us. That darkness is sin. And that sin, our sin, your sin, my sin, alienates us from God. And the good news is that a Savior has been born who overcomes our sin and our alienation. A Savior is someone who saves those who cannot save themselves. But you know, as humans, we like to think we can take care of ourselves, that we pride ourselves in our ability to take care of ourselves. Alaskans pride ourselves in our ability to take care of themselves, particularly homesteaders, right? They save everything, right? Because you'll never know if you need it. But the great movies that we love are great and enjoyable because they are about someone who comes in and saves the day, right? And that person usually has superhuman powers because humanity is inadequate to save ourselves. I just saw the movie Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. And it's a great movie. It's clean, it's fun, there's fighting, there's action, there's choreography. And the good guy wins. The good guy fights against the bad guy who's his father. And good wins. And Shang Chi is the hero. And the reason why he's the hero is because he has superhuman strength. He is, as Marvel shows us, a superhero. And there's a reason why you and I love those kind of movies, other than just being men who love testosterone. Because it's within our DNA to recognize that we are in a struggle and we want the good guy to win. Because that's the storyline of the Bible. God created humanity in his image to reflect him. But humanity sinned. They fell because they disobeyed him, because they sinned. And there's something terribly wrong with this world. And what is terribly wrong is sin. Yet God did not leave humanity in our sinfulness. He sent a Savior who is the ultimate superhero. In our day, superheroes are respected because they're often convoluted, right? And they're moral. They're trying to find their moral compass. But Jesus didn't have to find his moral compass because he was sinless. And he saves humanity. And we live happily ever after in eternity on a new creation where sin will no longer affect you and I or creation if you know Christ, if you've come to faith in Christ. It has been said that if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been a technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was security, I'm sorry, if our greatest need was finances, he would have sent an economist. And all of those are beneficial, and all those are great blessings to humanity. But the greatest need for you and I is forgiveness. So God sent a Savior. Your greatest need, my greatest need, is a Savior. And that Savior can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. So after the angel declares the good news of Jesus Christ, that's not enough for heaven. Heaven sends an angelic choir to celebrate the good news of the Savior. And we see this in verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he," that is God, "is pleased." So with the birth of a Savior comes the offer or the promise of peace, but that peace is not universal. It belongs to those with whom he, that he being God, is pleased. And so the question for all of us is that how can a dark and a sinful heart please God? And the response that Scripture gives us is faith. Because faith looks away from myself, looks away from all those things that we hold on to so tightly to trust in, to give us happiness, to save us, to give us security, to give us confidence, to bail us out, to numb our pain. And turning away from every single one of those and relying on, trusting on, putting our hope in the Savior. Peace comes from being reconciled to God by faith. I'm talking about a peace that transcends our circumstances, so that despite hardships, despite troubles, despite difficulties, and all of us have troubles, all of us have difficulties in life, that there's a peace that transcends that, so that circumstances cannot rob you of that peace, so that you can have peace in the midst of marriage difficulties. You can have peace despite financial difficulties. You can have peace despite personal pain. You can have peace despite suffering. You can have peace despite ailing health. And you can have peace despite a pandemic. So we've looked at the angels who declare the good news. Now let's look at the shepherd's response. The shepherd's response. The shepherds embrace the good news, and they search for the newborn Savior. They follow the sign that the angels gave them. The angel gave them a sign and said, you'll find this Savior child wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger, which is really just a feeding trough. We romanticize it in the manger scenes that we have, but this was just probably a wood, or probably even more likely a stone feeding trough that was lined with hay, not organic hay, probably actually more organic than what we find today. But in a feeding trough, you would find this Savior. And so they find the child. And so my encouragement to you is that if you will consider the good news like shepherds did, and like countless others have done throughout history to verify, to authenticate, is the good news true? Is it reasonable? Is it credible? If you will consider it, you will find that the good news is credible. It is true. It is reasonable to believe in. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. And when they find the Savior, the shepherds declare the good news too. The Savior has been born. So the shepherds embraced the good news and they believed. Now I just want to look in closing at the response of those who heard the shepherds. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Notice the contrast. Some wondered, but Mary treasured. Some wondered, but Mary treasured. There's a contrast that is deliberate to highlight the difference between those who wondered about what they were told and Mary treasuring and pondering about what she was told. The Christmas story is not just to be wondered about as a heartwarming story. It is to be embraced. It is to be treasured. It is to be pondered about. It is to be believed. The point of that contrast is to show that those who wondered about it, they were curious. They thought about it. But at the end of the day, they moved on with their life, not being impacted by the good news, not being impacted by the Christmas story. They didn't take it to heart. Well, they believed. They knew historically. They knew by fact that this was true. They could check it out themselves because they were outside Bethlehem too. But Mary embraced the truth. And she treasured it. You know what it means to treasure something. It's significant to you. You hold tight to it. You want to think about it. You want to reflect on it. You want to possess it. So the Christmas story is good news. It's not just good advice. And so what is our response to the Christmas story? The shepherds understood the seriousness, the certainty of this good news, and they searched, they found, and they shared. That's one example of faith. And Mary treasured and ponders the good news. And that's the second example of faith for us. And so how about us? How will you and I respond to the Christmas story tonight? Will we wonder about it and think, oh, that's nice, that's heartwarming, I get warm feelings, the candle's great, the singing's great, the preacher's incredible. Or will you embrace it? Will you believe it? Will you put your hope and your confidence? Will you treasure it and ponder it? So at this point in our service, we are going to take an offering. And this offering is not for us. It's for the needy in our community. Christmas is really about giving, right? And so if you don't want to give, you don't have to give. But if you want to give to the needy families and individuals in our community, Homer and Anchor Point and around our community, then we ask you to give. You can just give a check, or you can write a check. I'm sorry, you can give cash. You can write a check out to Christian Community Church. And this will go directly to the needs of others. We don't take any of this for ourselves. So we split this three ways. We split it between those who come to CCC and say, I'm needy, I need help. And so we give that to them. Or we give it a third of it to the food pantry and get a third of it to the Salvation Army. And so again, if you would like to do that, you are more than welcome to do that. And while that is offerings being taken, we're going to have Kara Redding sing Adore Him.
Countless days on a journey led so far, endless nights they travel to follow the star. They did not find a palace, just a humble village home. Searching for a king and finding a child, no crown, no throne. Still they bow down, oh come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Expectation turned into nothing was like anything they dreamed, anticipating the royal and those honored by this world. Instead, they gazed in the awe-struck eyes of a lowly peasant girl, holding her child. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Sing with me. For You alone are worthy, and we give You all the glory. For You alone are worthy. Christ, the Lord.
Now, at this point in our service, we are going to welcome the children to make their way forward, and we're going to have some kids' songs. So, kids, if you want to come on forward, that would be great. Also, on your way in, you would have grabbed a candle. Hopefully, you have a candle, and you like fire, because it's going to be right in front of you. So, if I can describe the proper way to light a candle inside, so that we don't have wax everywhere, the idea is that the one holding the lit candle holds it vertical. And the one who wants to light their candle leans over and goes horizontal, right? Just like that, all right? And in a couple minutes, right after this, during this song, we're going to be lighting the candle. So if the ushers would like to come forward, ushers, come on forward, and feel free to light your candles along the way. Remember, the lit candle stays vertical, and the one that needs lighting is horizontal, if you can see me behind the kids. As we sing this last closing song, if you'd like to stay seated, that's fine. If you'd like to join us by standing the song Silent Night, feel free to hold your candles up as we sing together.
Thank you.
So we will close in prayer, and then we'll sing Silent Night, and we'll finish. And when you blow your candle out, do it softly with your hand up so that we don't have to go around all night long and pick up wax off the floor. We would appreciate that. So let's pray, and then we'll sing Silent Night. No? Oh, we did. So we're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to put out the candles. I am tone deaf. Didn't realize that was Silent Night. Well, there it goes. There's no pride tonight. Yeah, there's no pride tonight. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. God taking on human flesh to become one of us. To live a perfect life, sinless, so that he would be a perfect sacrifice on the cross. To take our sin and the penalty of our sin upon himself. To overcome our alienation, to overcome our spiritual death, and destroy sin and evil for us, so that we might have life. We thank you that you are the light of the world, and that when we believe in you, that we become little lights as we lean into you and rely on you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all, and thank you for coming. Have a Merry Christmas.